Good evening, everyone. The City Council Finance Committee has come to order. There has been lengthy discussion on this particular item this previous Monday night to the tune of 6 or 7 hours. It was also brought to my attention that some members of the public didn't have the opportunity to speak. And having said that, I am going to allow for public comment. I am going to ask first anyone who did not speak and address the Finance Committee to come to the podium and speak first. If you did speak on Monday, I'm going to ask you to refrain from coming to the podium until other members of the public have had an opportunity to speak. I'm going to ask you to limit your comments. I'm going to ask you to speak to the issue at hand. We don't need to go into history or what has taken place necessarily in the past. We're looking to hear what you feel regarding the issue and matter at hand this evening. So having said that, I will begin to take public comment. As I said, keep your comments brief. Stay on topic, because if not, I will have to reel it in, okay? We need to stay on topic. You may begin in whatever order you have up there.
Mr. Chairman, do we have to open the committee? Since we already had public comment for 6 hours on Monday evening, and we actually gave it favorable action to the council?
I just opened up the committee, Councilman. I am not the one that posted it. I am not the one that sent this.
But I am a member of this committee, Mr. Chairman. So okay. I'm asking you, Mr. Chairman, if we vote on this to open up the conversation again.
I'll defer to legal counsel. I mean, this is a posted item. I don't see
that's already been voted on.
I don't see where it requires a vote to open the committee, but I'll defer to legal counsel.
Bill, did you want Bill to answer, or did you want to answer?
Yes.
Here, give him a mic.
The practice and precedent of the committees of the Council of Warwick have traditionally gaveled in without a vote upon a quorum being present and the chair exerting the authority to open the committee, which the chairman has duly done.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, first speaker, identify yourself for the record. As I said, keep comments brief, to the point, and on topic. Sir.
Yes, John Seminole, Ward 6. I'll keep it in related to the contract. Specifically, at this point, the recommended or tentative agreed to raises. I just wanted to bring it that in 15, 16, and 17, those 3 years, there was 3% raises for each year. The arbitrator for 18 still has that raise, which I hear is from 1.5% city's recommendation to 5% requested by the union. So I'm assuming that somewhere in the middle that'll fall. So for this purpose, say another 3%. So that's 3, 6, 9, 12 since 2015. I'm a taxpayer of the city of Warwick for 35 years. I haven't had a raise since 2006. So, you know, how are people in my situation supposed to pay for these continuous raises that are like every year is like a 3% raise? It's retarded. Second point.
So the lawyer...
Excuse me, Mr. Simoneaux?
Yes.
If you could keep your comments in your wording to such a degree that they are not offensive.
I didn't know that was offensive. Okay. It shouldn't happen. I'll rephrase retarded to it shouldn't happen.
Mr. Simoneaux, don't challenge me, okay? Don't challenge me. I'm giving you the courtesy of coming to the mic. That is your right as a citizen of the city of Warwick.
Yes, sir.
But this committee, this council, and the members in this chamber will not be abused. Are we clear?
I was clarifying what my statement was.
Are you clear with what I just said?
Yes, I don't need a constable. I don't need a constable to serve me. I'm well aware of it.
My next
statement will be...
Mr. Simoneaux,
yes.
I haven't finished.
I thought you were done.
No, I'm not done.
Okay. Let me know when you're done, sir.
As long as you continue to become aggressive, then I will finish it. Okay? But please, stick to the issues.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I finish?
Okay. Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, the lawyer for the Warwick Fire Department the other night, and Mr. D'Amico, who is the financial consultant for the mayor, they both said at this microphone that the chance of that arbitrator's decision about the Tier 2 issue that the arbitrator ruled against the city, the chances of that being overturned by the court is slim to none. And Slim left the building. So I want to bring it to your attention that I had a contract. I retired. I did not get a raise. I took it to the Supreme Court of Rhode Island. And in 2007, the Supreme Court of Rhode Island said you cannot pass an ordinance and retroactively apply pension change ordinances to retired members because they have vested property rights, not contract benefits. Four years later, Mayor Tavares decided to do it anyway, again. Okay? Superior Court, I'm getting to the point.
The point is, we are not here to hear about the city of Providence or Mayor Tavares.
No, I'm telling you about the judges.
We're here to hear the merits of this issue.
Right.
Not Providence and not Mayor Tavares.
Right.
So then,
okay.
So please keep your comments to this.
To the court decisions, which I'm trying to get to. The court, in both cases, was told that if you appealed to the Supreme Court and Superior Court, you had a slim to no chance that the city would win. Well, the city won. So what I'm saying is that if you appeal that arbitrator's decision, there's a good chance because of the financial condition of the city of Warwick with the $900 million unfunded pension and healthcare liabilities that you would probably likewise win. So that's my point. I wanted that to be known that just because for the last 50 years the courts have not overruled arbitration panel decisions, they never overruled their own decisions that they decided 4 years earlier. But now they do. So I want you to know that. And I didn't know if you knew that. And my point is, we cannot afford this contract. I expect my council person and this body, you can only vote up or down, ratify or not ratify, you cannot amend. Because of all the things we heard Monday night and all the issues that are left out there hanging with this contract, even blank spaces that haven't been filled in yet, everything I heard the other night, nobody should even consider voting for this contract until them deficiencies are corrected at a minimum. I go a step further and say anybody shouldn't vote for it to ratify this contract. Let it go back. If it has to be renegotiated, if it has to go to arbitration again, let it go there. But this body is elected to protect the taxpayers. And the taxpayers of this city need you all to not ratify this contract and let the chips fall where they may. And I'll make one last point. One last point. I feel...
Mr. Simoneau, okay. Excuse me. Could someone turn the lights on the other side, too? I think somebody might have hit the switches back there by accident. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Simoneau.
One last point.
They'll figure out the switch.
And I can only speak for myself, but anybody that votes to ratify this contract will. I'll give 150% effort to see that those people never sit in this room again. Have a good night.
Thank you. Excuse me. If someone could turn on the other switch for the lights over here on the left or right side of the chamber, depending upon which way you're facing it. Go ahead, sir. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Yeah. Roy Dempsey, Ward 1. I was listening to this discussion on Ustream, and what got me is you seem to be on a roll, Councilman Lattisaw, in terms of your getting involved with this contract, the terms, the meaning, everything in the interpretation. The first time that's ever been done in this council chamber, that this council had the ability to review an actual contract. And you were going through it. And you were going line, almost line by line. And you were pointing out areas that were subject to interpretation. I don't know if Mr. DePasquale or someone from the city side said, well, that interpretation, we know what the meaning is. What kind of answer is that? This is a contract where if there's open to disputes, you know that if there's an in for a dispute, it's going to be made. And there wasn't clarity in this contract. You know there's open-endedness in it. Why would you agree to a contract like that? It puts everyone in jeopardy. It even puts these gentlemen in jeopardy. Why would you agree to it? It shouldn't be. I don't know why you were sandbagged, because you were on a roll. And there were certain people who had it up for you. I don't know why. But there's two things I want to bring up, and I heard it today on the radio. One was backlog. We're going to be backlog in terms of future endeavors in this chamber, and that's why we got to rush this through. What the heck does that mean? Backlog. You got a job to do, Mr. Howe. You got a job to do, Mr. McAllister. This is one of the most important contracts in the city. And you're going to just let it flow through? Are you kidding me? You should be analyzing this contract. Why not? You've got taxpayers sitting out here saying, why aren't you doing your job? And you're saying, we're going to rush it through. It's not right. In the city, the mayor says to us, this is cost neutral. What the heck does cost neutral mean? For years, you had the fire department come before your budget year, before at every budget meeting, right? You had that come up at every budget meeting. And what did you slam them on? What did you slam them on, Councilman Lattisaw? You slammed them on overtime, right? They'd come in with $2 million, $3 million over the budgeted item. And what would you do? You'd say, we're going to slash that overtime. We're going to take $2 million out of that budget. Every time you did that, you went out of here with an unbalanced budget. And you know why? Because that Chief Armstrong used to come up here. You say, we're going to slash by $2 million.
Mr. Dempsey?
Yep.
Chief Armstrong is history, current events.
This is the point. They'd come up here. Chief Armstrong would come up here. As a representative of the fire department, I need $3 million for overtime. You'd say, no, we're going to slash it by $2 million. That's it. Use it. And you balanced your budget, supposedly, on cutting that $2 million. What is that $2 million cut that you made? You know what it meant? It meant zero. It meant zero because these gentlemen had an ability to do what they, ability to go in and work that contract with, but the contract they were under allowed them to do that $2 to $3 million in overtime. You had no control over it at all. No control. You've gone into this, you've brought this city into unbalanced situations for the last 6 years. It's never been balanced because you always try to balance it by taking it out of the overtime budget of the fire department. And it didn't work because it's not supposed to work.
Councilman McAllister. I think he, in this case, excuse me, I think in this case he is on topic because overtime is part of the contract and it is part of the 10-hour and direct 14-hour shifts and time off. Overtime is spoken to in the new contract. I think he is on topic. Continue.
My point is that you didn't have the ability, when you cut those budgets by $2 million, you did absolutely nothing. Why? Because their contracts were negotiated that allowed the ability to build up that overtime to $2 or $3 million. And I'm not saying it wasn't necessary or not. They operated within the constraints of that contract, and you're doing nothing at the time of the budget hearing. What I'm saying is you had the ability, and you had the ability now, to go into that contract and to see what the processes were that allowed that allows for either overtime or allows how the, we don't even know what this new shift is going to be. You asked the question, Mr. DePasquale, they go to a new shift? What is it? What is the cost benefit of the new shift? They couldn't answer you. We're going to look at what happens in Providence. Who cares what happens in Providence? We should know what's happening within that shift. We should know what the policies and the processes are for overtime, how it's presented, how it's given, how it's accepted. It's the only way it's going to be controlled, through the contract, not through any budget hearing. And I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Cindy Farah. So I come before you to tell you I am incredibly disappointed. I'm disappointed that we're here on the Friday before Christmas, and people are missing Christmas parties, time with their families, shopping, because of this move that happened, this mysterious thing that happened. I'm disappointed in both of you, who I watched, first you came in late, along with someone else, smile and laugh, and you actually look like you were going to fall asleep at one point. This is important to us. This is our livelihood. We're putting people out of their homes because of these things. This is important. And the fact that we have to be here tonight to discuss this, I'm not really sure if this contract is good or not because there's a bunch of empty things in it. I'm not really sure if it should be passed. But what I do know is that everything should be filled in and everything should be clear and concise. And I'm so disappointed. I'm disappointed that the mayor who stood before us and said, we are in a sinking ship and I am the captain that's going to bring you out, isn't here. I'm really disappointed. And I know a lot of you have worked really hard, but I have to tell you, when I'm sitting here and you're on your cell phones while people are up here talking, it's insulting at best. Thank you.
Thank you. State your name for the record, please.
Good evening. Dave Testa, Ward 1. I come before you to echo...
Mr. Testa, could you just keep that mic close? The acoustics in here is...
Dave Testa, Ward 1. I think I would echo what the previous speaker just said. I'm here mostly because of the mechanism by which we're here tonight. To be perfectly honest with you, I've been a resident of Warwick for almost 30 years. And to have elected officials serve for the announcement of a meeting, in my opinion, is conduct beneath the dignity of this body. Okay, this is thuggish, almost third world banana republic type stuff that brings us here on a Friday before Christmas. I was here the other night, and as a taxpayer, I think there are a couple of of issues that were brought forward that, as a taxpayer, are very concerning to me because they're very, very vague, and everything has a price tag, and those things could be something that could have a very, very significant fiscal impact on the city. And I think rationally and reasonable people should be able to say, wait a minute, let's make sure that's clarified before we move on. So again, I think there are some very good, very serious concerns for me that were brought up that I think should be clarified, but I would hope we'd never see this kind of methodology to get a meeting together ever happen in the city again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Pat Boschman. I am from Ward 7. I have been a taxpayer and a resident of the community for the past 45 years. I certainly appreciate the fact that we have a very dedicated and responsible and hardworking group of people who are our firefighters. I should qualify the fact that I am a long lifetime union member of Rhode Island NEA. My husband, who is a retired postal service, is also a lifetime member of his respective union. I truly appreciate the work that they have done. However, there are limitations. When I retired in June this past year, I assumed total responsibility for my health care. And so did my husband 15 years ago. And we didn't do it begrudgingly. We knew it was only fair. Fair to the taxpayers. This contract, supposed contract, before you this evening, is not fair to the taxpayers. You have a growing, aging demographic population in this community. And I don't see young families coming in with their children for our school system. We have this aging population, and we have been taking hits in increased taxes. We did so this summer for this year. We can't afford to do this again. We're only asking you to do your due diligence as elected officials representing the taxpayers of our community. You have the power, you have the authority to say no, and you are there to protect the taxpayers of this community. You are not beholden to unions. And I urge you to think about that. And shame on you for bringing everyone together tonight, this holiday weekend, interfering with dinner time and family activities to move this thing quickly through. Shame on you. Thank you.
Thank you. State your name for the record, please.
Donald Fife, Ward 1. Mr. President, members of the Finance Committee, I've been a Warwick resident all my life. The average salary for a Warwick fireman is $96,000 a year. The average salary for firemen nationwide is $63,000. How many people in Warwick make around that price, that salary? Rhode Island has the seventh highest property taxes in the country. The Warwick teachers are paid the highest in the state.
Mr. Fife, stick to the issue. The teachers are not here tonight. They're not on the agenda.
This will hurt the Warwick residents, the taxpayers, especially the senior citizens who are on fixed income. We cannot handle it. The WARC firemen should not make more than what the community can afford. I respect the firemen. I thank them for their service. But enough is enough. How much is enough enough? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. State your name for the record, please.
Good evening. William Clegg, Ward 9. I don't often come to the City Council meetings, but as I look around, I'm glad that I did, because I could easily have stayed home tonight like many people have. But I think things are changing in Warwick, and people will start coming out more often given contracts like this one. It's shocking to me the way it was brought up. I've been here for over 35 years, never heard of councilmen being served for a special meeting on 48 hours notice. So that causes me to sit up and say, well, what's going on? Why is that? Well, obviously it's because of what's in the contract. Not only are the actuarially assumptions improper or unsound, maybe could be much better, but also the whole method by which this is happening. So, being in New England, we're all Patriots fans, so I would just say the Patriot way is do your job. As a council, I know that some of you are doing the right thing and others seem to be asleep at the wheel. So do your job. Thank you.
Thank you. Identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is Gail Corrigan, G-A-Y-L-E-C-O-R-R-I-G-A-N. I live at 50 Patterson Ave, Warwick, Rhode Island. I believe that is Ward 9. My history is known in the state. I was the chief of staff to the receiver of Central Falls and created the plan of debt adjustment that got the city of Central Falls out of bankruptcy. I was and am the district manager of the Central Coventry Fire District, and I was the town manager of the town of East Greenwich. This is the first time I have been to Warwick City Hall and to my city's actual town city hall. And what brings me here tonight is just to tell you that professionally and personally, I've always been on after the fact, after the decisions have been made, trying to mop up the mess, have you. And tonight is very historic. If you pass this with obviously not having done a full fiscal impact statement, an independent full fiscal impact statement, you really don't know what the future brings. And you don't know really what's going to happen, not next year, probably not much, or 2 years or 3 years down the line, but 5, 10. And you wonder, and I always do, what were people thinking 20 years ago with Central Falls, or 5 or 6 years ago with Central Coventry, or 6 years ago with East Greenwich? Those decisions were made, and those decisions were made without accurate information. So it's incredibly important that before you take an action on any contract, that you have an independent fiscal statement of what the liabilities are, what you're really getting yourselves into. I unfortunately know a little bit too much about fire contracts. I really wish I didn't. And what I'm here to say is I feel so important because this is my city. I've lived here for 16 years, and I call it my home. I have two children in the school department and at Winman, and this is very important to me. And I unfortunately have the curse of knowledge to understand a lot of things that you sitting there as in your own professions, why would you understand everything? So I'd like to propose tonight that I will personally pay up to $10,000, because that's how much it would cost, for independent, not by myself, not by Mr. D'Amico or anyone in the state, but independent fiscal impact analysis before you make this decision, because it's that important for me. Because some of these things that are in this contract are good. Not this contract is not bad, but some of these things have to be, you have to know what they really mean. And all I'm asking for is the time to get somebody in. It can, you can decide, just like they're doing the IGT contract, to get a real independent consultant in. It won't cost a lot of money. We've already, in my former work, we also did looked at independent consultants. They cost about $10,000, and I will personally fund it.
Could you state your name again, please? I did not get it in the first place.
Gayle, G-A-Y-L-E, Corrigan, C-O-R-R-I-G-A-N. And I've also been in arbitrations successfully. Again, I've been on town management, and I've also worked on the union side and been expert witnesses for different unions. So I've seen both sides of the table. And like I said, in this contract, there are some things that are very good, and there are some things that you just need to know about, and there's some things that are neutral. But to have somebody say that it's a cost-neutral contract, there is no such thing. It just doesn't exist. So if anyone tells you it's a cost, and whoever it is, to say that this cost-neutral contract, it does not exist. Contracts don't work that way, especially fire contracts. Fire contracts are the most complicated contracts of any of the unions in a typical municipality.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
State your name for the record, please.
Good evening. Brandon Ingenieri. I'm a taxpayer in Ward 8. Additionally, I am a member of the Warwick Fire Department and their bargaining unit. I'd like to speak as to the fiscal responsibility here on our contract, our tentative agreement. There are some things that the public isn't aware of, and they don't always hear from a member of this bargaining unit, so we'd like to elaborate just to help enlighten and get some of the facts out there. Right now, we've introduced an OPEB trust, unlike anything else of its kind in this city. We are trying to take liability off of the taxpayers to contribute to healthcare costs. Right now, there's nothing like it. The city is currently responsible for 100% of the healthcare costs in retirement. We are coming to the table to try and help alleviate that. So that right there in itself is innovative. Additionally, our pension is very well funded as compared to other pensions in the state. It is based on an actuary, so annually, an independent actuary comes in and evaluates the city and the pension fund, and our contributions change annually based on that actuarial report. If there is a need for us to contribute more money, it will automatically change on July of every year so that we help maintain the funded level of the pension. That is also uncharacteristic when compared to other municipalities. Taking a step back from the taxpayer perspective, I do own real estate in this municipality as well as a number of others, and one of the economic factors that I do look at when purchasing real estate are the property tax rates. And I can say that owning property from Narragansett to Woonsocket and nearly every municipality in between, that Warwick are some of the most affordable tax rates. The level of services that you get for the dollar amount is not comparable in a number of other municipalities. Additionally, I'd like to just make one clarification. I believe that, as Mr. Stimino stated, that the 2015 to 18 contract, there was a roughly 12% pay raise. I believe that accurate number is roughly 7.5%. Additionally, I would like to just say that we are here to serve the taxpayers. We are here to earn a fair wage, and we are here to not have any entitlements. We do not want one benefit that we do not negotiate fairly for, that is not negotiated in fair in good faith. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. State your name for the record, please.
Good evening, Nick Varis. Taxpayer of multiple wards in the city, also Local 2748 secretary. Come before you to tell you.
Excuse me, Mr. Varis.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I come for to tell you this contract, which you've had in your possession for over 20 days, took the time by a great legal counsel and many of the negotiating team to go through page by page to literally rewrite this contract so it is cost neutral for that first year of 0%. It's already budgeted. So, going forward, like the previous speaker, that OPEB trust is an important part of this contract that the city should understand that no others have. That saves us money instantly. To keep this going through legal terms, such as Gail Corrigan talked about earlier, and how she's been in many bankrupt communities, well, the only people that win are people like her firm. The taxpayers don't win, the firefighters don't win, the city does not win. We've been diligent, we've come to you with a proper collective bargaining agreement, and we feel that this should be going forth in a positive way. Again, also want to thank you all for coming here Friday night, because I think it's important that we don't lollygag and get this done. Thank you.
Thank you. State your name for the record, sir.
My name is Bob Morse. I'm in Ward 6. It's the first time coming here is a big deal, and I thought I had to come up and say. I'm a little nervous, so.
Take your time. Right, just
first of
speak
all,
into the mic, Mr. Morris, because the
Morse.
Acoustics is not so good.
Right.
Sorry?
Morse.
Morse, I'm sorry.
All right. First of all, I have the utmost respect for the fire department. I'm retired military, and they do things I would never do. To me, they're all heroes. Now, that being said, I'm not here to argue specific deals or about how I think the math doesn't add up on this. They deserve a lot. I just think this is a case of JDLR, which means just doesn't look right. This is being rushed through, and I just want you guys to have more time to look at it. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other members of the community that have not spoken at the previous meeting? Are there any other members from the fire department or members of the administration that haven't spoken previously that would like to speak? Are there any other members of the community sitting in this audience this evening that haven't spoke and would like to speak? Sir, come forward.
I'm in Ward 9.
I'm sorry, speak into the mic, sir.
Daryl Lucenti, Ward 9. I think, like a lot of citizens, there's some very basic questions that we have that probably can't be answered without going into deep detail with respect to the finances for the city. For instance, is Warwick even, is it broke? Is it a viable entity going forward with some of the liabilities that it has? When we talk about taxes, I can tell you I've lived here for 25 years, and I've seen my property tax increase by 600%. My house is basically worth the same that it was when you use fair value dollars. So no one's knocking down the door to come to move to Warwick. And when I've tried to sell my house, a common complaint is the school system. And I think you guys were talking the other night about the value of having multiple bids on a contract. I think it's time we look at it from the perspective, when do we break out of this anachronistic system and actually look at multiple bids for these services? I think we would see a cost reduction. It's time to privatize some of these functions. And as crazy as that sounds, I think the tail is wagging the dog. And we have to sit here as citizens and wonder, what's my home value in 6 months, a year, 2 years? Property taxes going up? Services are not exactly stellar. I'm talking about the school system, which we're not supposed to be talking about. Young families aren't coming here to get their kids into the Warwick Public School System, I can tell you that. I was forced to use private systems. Plus, if I were a young fireman today, I'd be asking myself a question. Is there even going to be money available when I retire? These are all unknowns. But something's got to change, because I'll tell you, the average citizen that thinks that there's no control here. Your vendors are deciding what we pay. And when I say we, I mean we, the taxpayers. And that's what we're faced with. It's out of control. So, as I look around at people sitting on computers and staring into space, yeah, you.
Sir, please, there's no need to, you know, be rude to anyone.
The question is, why does nothing ever happen? You know, I think you see, someone already mentioned, there's a silent majority who's been listening to this and watching this passively for years. And at some point you say, why should I spend 25 years living in a house that's losing value because of mismanagement of the town that I live in? And I hear people make excuses that other cities, well, why, let's compare it to Coventry, or how are we doing compared to Providence? Who cares? That's a lemming effect. Just because they're broken doesn't mean this place has to be broken too. I'm telling you, you have to open this up, get control of your expenses, not have your vendors tell you what we're going to pay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other members of the public or anyone else in this chamber that has not spoken at the last meeting? This is the last call that has not spoken at the last meeting and would like to speak tonight. Sir. State your name for the record, please.
Name is John Martino. I've been a resident of Warwick for the past 36 years. So I felt compelled to come here tonight for my concern about the contract that I've heard about. Now, I have to say, I have the greatest respect for the members of the police department, and I likewise I do of the fire department. I've used their service both departments in the past. Tonight I've heard the term used that the taxpayers win or the fire department wins. I would look forward to hear the term fair. What's fair and equitable for both sides? Do they deserve to be taken care of? Yeah, they do. But my concern is what is fiscally realistic for the taxpayers of the city. And I think most of the people who are here on the taxpayers' side feel the same way from what I've heard. There's no one here that knocks the police department. They do a wonderful job. And all I have to say is, as a military veteran, as a member of the Disabled American Veterans, I'm here to speak on behalf of a fair settlement. Numbers speak. All I say, gentlemen, is look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. That's what we have to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mr. Chairman. Sir. Mr. Chairman, these statements have already been made. The speaker that's coming up has already spoken. We had opened hearings at 5:30 on this topic on Monday evening. We closed at 10:44 p.m. This was one of the gentlemen who spoke. We already heard his testimony. I'd like us to close comment.
Excuse me. I see a hand up in the audience. Have you spoken before, sir? Please come to the podium.
Thank you. My name is Steve Sullivan. I'm a Warwick resident. And I did not plan to speak tonight or to offer any comments. However, sitting through this, a few comments crossed my mind. I have never, in the lifetime that I have lived in the city of Warwick, seen anything like this display that has gone on here. This contract, I don't really concern myself of what is absolutely fair, exact, specific, or not. I feel that everybody deserves, on both sides, fair treatment of it. I have no animosity against any unions or their members or anything like that to get what they deserve. However, what I have seen in my time in Warwick, I have been very active years past when our son was in school. I spent much time in these chambers, much time in school administration building. Sadly, I have watched our school system, like other things, degrade and degrade and degrade. I do not know of any friends of mine that are looking to move back into the city. What I see tonight, a couple of things that stand out. One person offered to have an independent study, and the comments I believe that she mentioned was, I don't think years back many people imagined where we would be. Well, we have an opportunity to correct that, because I don't think years back, especially myself, would I think that this city and my livelihood and life here in the city would be like it is now. I would not have to be embarrassed about a school system that we have that was once tops. That was the reason to move here. We cannot afford all of this in all of these services. The other is, I feel that you should be, as a council, acting on the behalf of the people that elected you. Granted, people in these unions are residents. You represent them. However, it seems a little bit one-sided that you don't take both interests into account. I do have one question for you. If this action tonight were not moved forward and it was set back to the original date, would that change any items in that contract? That's my question for you.
I'm not clear on your question.
In other words, if we didn't move this meeting to tonight and we waited 2 weeks, is that detrimental to that contract? Will the factors and basics in that contract change?
If you're asking my opinion, my opinion is no.
I am asking not so much an opinion, but...
My answer?
Your answer.
My answer is no.
Then why is it that people have acted in this way and we had to race this through to come here tonight before a holiday, short notice, and candidly act against a certain person, and again, only in my opinion, like a bunch of middle school bullies, when the impact isn't going to change? I don't understand that. The other, and lastly, from what I have seen, if we're here in fairness, and granted people applaud others' efforts to get up here and speak, but when I see people raising their fists like this and giving fist bumps and all that, how inappropriate is that? Is that fairness? It is shameful that I come here tonight. I'm actually embarrassed to have to be here tonight and participate. But through my support of certain council members over the year, that's what I'm doing. But I just find it very odd that if nothing were changed inside of 2 weeks, why this has to be rushed through. I don't see that on our behalf. Absolutely. Thank you.
Sir, did you say your last name was Sullivan?
Sullivan. S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N.
So, Mr. Sullivan, normally I don't comment from speakers.
By all means.
But you are the second one that, and I don't mean this critically, I'm going to be making a point. And
I'm young, I'll get over it.
I'm not criticizing what you said. But you're the second person this evening that comes to the mic and gives me the impression that you think all of the members of this council are responsible for this meeting.
I correct myself for the ones that were.
But I need to clear the air.
Certainly.
Because in the interest of fairness, I am not going to sit here and get blamed for calling this meeting. I did not call this meeting. The council president didn't call this meeting, and two of my other colleagues did not call this meeting. So it is not fair to categorize all members of this council for calling the meeting. Now, I'm not saying anything in a negative context of my colleagues who did call the meeting. They called the meeting, they had their reasons for it, they felt that it was appropriate and necessary to do so, and that's what they did. But as far as the awareness of who is where, it's important that I put this on the record. I am happy, very happy actually, that you are here this evening. And something else that I'm particularly encouraged about is the amount of people who have come to this podium and said, this is the first time I've been here. We have a chamber full of representatives from the fire department, other employees from the city of Warwick. We have a chamber full of taxpayers and members of the community who may not have ever been here. We have more people in attendance this evening than we have in our budget hearings. Our budget is a $330 million book of business. And it is particularly encouraging for me as a public servant who is here to do the business of the people and to spend whatever time I need to take to conduct that business. It is particularly encouraging to see what has taken place. Whether we agree with this meeting tonight or we don't, the fact that we have so many people from the city of Warwick in this chamber that have never been here before and have said, you know what, I'm paying attention. And that is what is so important in what's going to be accomplished going forward. The fact that members of the community, the people who are paying the bills, are now paying attention. And that is very encouraging. Thank you for joining us this evening, sir.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
Thank you.
For the record, if I offended you as not
No,
one
sir,
of those
you
people,
did not. You did not offend me.
I apologize.
I did not. However, certainly, hopefully, I didn't leave you with that impression.
No.
I did not, but I want to be sure that everyone that is in presence in this room doesn't categorize.
And anything that I have written, which is available on public media, it refers to those individuals that did orchestrate this event. And as you say, the large turnout compared to other meetings, you would have to ask why. Again, my opinion is that drag people out on a Friday before Christmas. And for those that did orchestrate it, you are an embarrassment.
We, sir, you have not spoken before, sir?
No, I haven't.
Identify yourself for the record,
please. My name is Jerry Ferreira. I'm from Ward 7. Last night I left a message for my councilman, Steve McAllister. I spoke with you last night, and he was kind enough to call me back. And in fact, our conversation was broken, and he called me back again. I had told him that I was very disappointed that we have this mentality and this always rushing through everything, that we need to get this done now. And I asked him, was he in favor of this? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what is so good about it? And he said that there were some things that he did not like about this contract, that he would change. So why would you vote something yay on something that a lot of it you don't like? I am very, very disappointed, and I've never spoken before in front of a crowd, and I just want to reiterate what others have said. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Joseph D'Antonio, 40 Myrtle Avenue. I just wanted to come up here real quick. I'm just speaking as a resident, lifelong taxpayer. A couple things. People keep on mentioning the fact that we're here on a Friday, which is incredibly inconvenient, and I can sympathize with most people. I'm here with my family tonight because it's that important to me to be here. Just to echo what another speaker said, forgive me, I don't remember his name, he did bring up Bill Belichick saying, do your job. The reason that I think we need to understand that we're here tonight is because we were unable to get to this on Monday. We had a room full of very passionate people, people to the right, people to the left. I'm not going to disagree or agree with any of them, but we had a lot of people that were in attendance that are in many council meetings. I've been here for most of them, and both sides were here. I understand the need for this meeting, but to villainize the people that orchestrated it, I don't think is right. We had an opportunity to take care of this, either a yes vote or a no vote on Monday. That did not happen. So before we villainize the people that are responsible for it, I just wanted to cover that topic and just say again, Bill Belichick says do your job, so do the right thing. On top of that, I just wanted to echo one more thing. I've been hearing a lot about people not wanting to move to this city. People don't want to bring kids into this city. I can tell you my own personal experience, my little microcosm in my world. My grandfather passed away last year, and we have a family moving from East Providence, relocating to this city to occupy that house with four children, and they could not be happier to be moving to the city of Warwick. So, again, I'm just speaking as a resident. I appreciate your time. Happy holidays, and take care.
Thank you, sir. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you very much. I do believe this is a public hearing, and I do think that people that spoke at the last meeting, they should be able to come up here again and speak. I just ask that your comments are already on the record, so I ask for any new information is more than welcome. So I just ask that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have how many speakers left, please? We have three speakers. Okay. So identify yourself for the record.
My name is Ken Block. I'm a Warwick businessman. I've had my business in Warwick for 20 years.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Block. Just let me interrupt for 1 second. I concur with Councilman McAllister. I'm sure Councilman Howe as well. Let's just limit the comments to whatever you had not mentioned earlier. It is getting on in time.
Understood.
We all appreciate everyone being here, so go ahead.
I'm shooting for 3 minutes or less.
3 minutes. Okay. You think that's a fair number for people that have spoken
Start the timer.
Previously?
I'm sorry?
I'm serious. Do you think that's a fair time frame for people that have spoken previously, 3 minutes?
I believe so, yes, because this just should be clarifying comments at this point.
Stop the clock.
Are we allowed to ask questions?
Sorry?
Are we allowed to ask questions like we were on Monday?
You can ask questions.
Okay, terrific. So I came on Monday. It was a six-hour meeting, and a lot of information was uncovered. And my testimony was denied to the public because the streaming service cut out pretty much as soon as I started to speak. What I suggested and what I stated pretty clearly was go slow. There are issues with the contract. There are ambiguities that were raised during the six-hour hearing. And the reaction to the council at large was not to slow down. It was actually to speed it up, which I believe is shocking and wrong. What I want to talk about that's different from what I discussed on Monday, and I really only briefly alluded to this, I want to get back to the OPEB trust because it's complex, and the fiscal note does not in any way, shape, or form address the one piece of it that I think that most people can't put their heads around. And that is that as a firefighter contributes 2% of their salary through their career to fund this trust to pay for lifetime health care, Upon retirement, let's assume there's $200,000 in that trust. They calculate how many years the firefighter is estimated to live, and then they divide that size of that trust at retirement by those number of years, and they take out that fixed amount year after year after year. Okay, and I think everyone can put their head around that piece of it. That's a little strange because the cost of health insurance is projected to rise 6.5% every year, but Warwick is only going to take out the same fixed amount of money that will not change every year. So you have 6.5% compounding cost, but a fixed amount that's removed from the trust. That's weird, but that's okay. Where it goes off the rails is whatever money is left in the trust in the current tentative agreement, that money is slated to be transmitted to the estate of the firefighter when the firefighter passes away. Now, my question to whoever is representing the city side is the following. I believe that the estimated interest earned on that money is 6 or 6.5 or 6.9%. Is that correct?
The return was a projected 6.9%.
Okay, 6.9%. Okay. If a firefighter lives for 25 years, they're going to take 4% out of that trust fund every year. So if you're removing 4%, but you're adding 6.9%, that trust fund never shrinks, it only grows. And what we're doing is we're creating a lifetime annuity for these firefighters in the multi-hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's not disclosed in the fiscal note, and I believe that is a substantial omission and something that really changes how people will perceive this particular contract. And for that reason alone, we should have an updated fiscal note, and there should be disclosed formally, which it is not right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Rob Cody, Ward 7.
Mr. Cody, time frame was set.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat
anything. You should
anything
be able to wrap it up in 3
before.
Minutes, right?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think so.
Okay.
Give it take an hour. I would like to address Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman Marola, and Councilman Corley. And I'd just like to speak about events that have taken place since we spoke on Monday. I think that these three individuals put an enormous amount of their own spare time into working for the taxpayer.
Mr. Cody,
yeah.
I appreciate the accolades. It's appreciated. Please keep your comments to the contract. What's good, what's bad, and how it all relates to everyone sitting in this room.
Well, this relates to this meeting and why we're here is that the process has failed, just as the process with vetting the contract has failed. And I just think as a resident, when you see this type of activity take place that brought us here to this meeting tonight on the Friday before Christmas, when we should be at the malls with our family, I think that was put forth in an underhanded and deceitful manner, and it makes me ashamed that the body that runs this community is so broken. And I'm personally offended at that as ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't get together in the room and say, hey, listen, let's get together on a particular night. I think it's offensive, and it sends a real bad message. But I do have a question. We spoke about that we had language issues and possibly mathematical issues, ambiguous language, and even contradictory language in the contract that you were poised to vote on. So the question I have through the chair to Council President Marola, have those language inconsistencies been corrected, and have you been given an amended contract that have taken out those errors and let's call them punctuation and verbal errors?
We haven't received anything new. So what we were talking about Monday night is what's before us.
Okay, so those concerns that the residents, that all these people have, that there were language errors that needed to be corrected and mathematical errors, those have not been corrected. So we're poised to vote on a contract that has defects in it that are well known, that, quite frankly, those types of issues brought us to arbitration in the past. So to move forward as a council person to say, yes, I know there's defects in this. I know there's a potential for litigation that's going to cost the taxpayers money, but I'm going to vote for this anyways because I've got my mind made up, is incomprehensible and completely incompetent to do such a thing. And if you do that, you should be ashamed of yourself and you should be removed from office. Thank you.
Thank you. This will be our final speaker. Identify your name, yourself for the record, so, please.
Robert Cushman. I'm from Ward 1, former Warwick City Councilman. I'm going to make this brief. First of all, I want to comment about how this meeting was set up under the guise that there was an issue with a backlog in the City Council. And as a former councilman and as a former chairman of the Finance Committee, I've gone to a lot of meetings. I've seen a lot of things with this Finance Committee. The backlogs occurred in this City Council because of this Finance Committee. So for someone to come in and start blaming other members of the council or whatever, or coming up with an excuse that this meeting needs to be scheduled on the Friday before Christmas because of a backlog issue is totally disingenuous. Because as a Finance Committee, you do not have to schedule your meetings on the night that a full City Council meeting is scheduled. You could schedule your Finance Committee meeting any night you want, just like you did today with proper notice. So the fact that you're using that as an excuse is bull. It's not an excuse. And it's not a reason to be holding this meeting today at this time. So there's no blame for a backlog other than, I hate to say it, the three of you sitting on this Finance Committee. And if you find out that there's agenda items that are in major importance to this city, I would recommend you hold your Finance Committee on another night where you could have the entire night to go over that agenda. And when you come back here for the full council meeting, there would be no excuses. So that's the first point. The second point, and I'm going to give you my Cliff Note version.
Mr. Cushman, you're going to stick your next two comments or whatever you have to the contract,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes. So we had an hour-long discussion on Monday, and my points were regarding the OPEB Trust Fund legislation. And this is my Cliff Note version. I pointed out in this contract there's one sentence, 25 words, that basically saying, I'm going to paraphrase, the governance of the OPEB Trust Fund, it will be used in the same manner as following the pension ordinances. That was it. And I went through methodically the ordinances for the pensions, and I couldn't get a straight answer. Does this apply? Does this not apply? And the administration actually came up and said, and they admitted, that there was deficiencies in the language.
30 seconds, Mr.
Cushman. Can I have a point of order? I didn't agree to 3 minutes. I mean, you know what I mean? So, all right. So, I lost my train of thought. What I was saying
Mr.
was
Cushman,
that-
Mr. Cushman, I will need you to wrap it up.
All right, we went through ordinance by ordinance where some things applied and some didn't. And then the administration got up and said, you need to pass ordinances because they admitted we missed some language. Can you just ask the administration when I sit down, did they know that night? Or did this just dawn on them because of the questions I was asking? Because that's an important question. Because the fact is, if they knew there was language deficiencies and they weren't telling you, that's an issue. Now, if they knew there was language,
just wrap up this subject you're on right now.
All right. So I'm talking about the OPEB Trust Fund, and here's my wrap up. You asked a question, was there any math behind that fiscal note? You said there was none, right? The administration didn't give you any math to prove that we had a 30% savings. And the chief of staff actually came up here in his opening comments and said we're going to get a 33% savings, right? So, Mr. Chairman, did you receive any additional information that shows that the information in that fiscal note is correct?
No.
Good. Okay. So I ran an analysis, and I'm going to give you my Cliff Notes, and I'm going to sit down. Based on all the parameters, and I've been going back and forth on the blogs, I don't know if there's firefighters on there or not, they don't believe what's in that fiscal note. So you would do a service to everybody sitting here tonight to go over what's in that fiscal note, because they're saying the salary stuff are wrong, a firefighter doesn't start with this.
The fact of the matter is there's an official document here with assumptions. I modeled it based on these, not based on what's really going on. And I think the people, and I don't know who they are actually admitting that that fiscal note is defective. And I think you should go over it again, go over the assumptions, and this is what the final results I got. This OPEB trust fund is going to cost taxpayers, this is for a 25-year mortality rate using all the assumptions in the fiscal note, $1.8 million. That's the total cost. The taxpayers are going to pay 88.4% or $1.6 million over the life of that firefighter. The firefighter in the OPEB trust fund is going to pay 11.6%. And here's the kicker, and Mr. Block just said that, about this returning funds. At the end of their lifetime, the city's going to write a check for $561,456 to that firefighter's estate. Because, just like he said, we're fixing the amount of money that's being expensed out of the account, but the returns on the account are greater than what you're pulling out. That's not my numbers. That's from that model, and I think you would do a service to everybody over here to go over that fiscal note, because I think a lot of these guys would probably say, after realizing what's in that fiscal note, it's garbage, and I wouldn't blow my nose on it. Thank you.
Thank you. It is now 6:18. The Warwick City Council Finance Committee is adjourned.